JG3. Number 1B.
So we can see then through divine ontology, which we love, we really have had reduced to our use today the basic constituents and relationship of all being as the nature of God, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and the operation of God as a word, Christ, Christianity, and science, on the different levels of science itself, divine science, and absolute Christian science. Through, we now see the work of Mrs. Eddy, through Revelation, John Dorley, through ascertaining the capitalized terms in the textbook, and Max Kapler's further work along those lines. So we have our basic constituents. Those all in the 7,000-year period are symbolized by the model of being. All of those constituents go together in a structural way that give to us that model. Now, let's see if I can quickly get my finger on that, on the model of being for us. We know ourselves the model of being, but we can see here how wonderful it is because it actually then gives us what we will in a shorthand say the seven for the sevenfold nature of God and the four for the fourfold operation of God and the four for the four levels of spiritual consciousness. We now know when we say seven, four, and four, it's our shorthand term for those basic system constituents of the system of reference. But we love how they structure themselves into a model of being, but really a model of the being as seen at the 7,000-year period. We know that the Bible in our work covers the first 5,000-year period in biblical history, and that through Revelation we had the vision of a little book that would be open that would teach us the spirit of truth. We have interpreted that truth volume as Science and Health for the 6,000-year period textbook, and certainly the title for Science and Health as Science and Health is the tone of truth. Science is and health, we have that two-edged sword of truth, really, where principle is always presenting what we are as idea, as science, and it's what is reality, and health, how do I become one with reality? Those two constituents are the two-edged sword of truth. Then we see that we go on to a 7,000-year period, and we feel the text of the 7,000-year period is this one, what Max had first called the chart in his Four Levels book on the Four Levels of Spiritual Consciousness, opposite page one. You know there he actually called this the chart. But keeping up with the terminology of today that we must do in order to be understood in the world, we know now that the term model is much closer to what is meant by this particular quote-unquote chart, that it is a model of being. And we know that the world asks for models of various sorts, model of the DNA, model of the what the unified field theory may be. So that's our text, and we can see that where the Bible spoke of the first 5,000-year periods, 3,000 pages, and then Science and Health, first 5,000, did I say it correctly? Year periods for the Bible in about 3,000 pages, and then Science and Health speaks of the 6,000-year period in about, 300 pages, and now the model of being speaks of the 7,000-year period in one chart here. Therefore, we can see, as Max shows in his book, the spiritual breakthrough to the next millennium, that symbol and reality are evolving, where symbols become very close to reality till we finally leave the symbols for reality itself. We get a great abstraction going on in being, And so we know with the model of being, we have the essence of the Bible and the essence of the textbook into the basic constituents in the model of being. We haven't lost anything, and that's abstraction. You abstract out the essence. Any one of us familiar with any type of abstract art, whether it's in the fine arts or in music or in literature, we know that any artist will take out the essence of it, and it looks very, very simple, but that's the essence of the subject, huh? An essence of a figure by a Matisse or Modigliani or one of these modern artists, just showing with a few strokes the human figure. It isn't that they wouldn't know how to draw a human figure. It's that all good artists have gone through realism abstract at this point expression, and leaving out just the non-essentials and giving that which is necessary. So through the evolution of spiritual consciousness up to the 7,000-year periods, it's understood that consciousness has evolved and has evolved through the symbols, and that the symbols are becoming more and more abstract as they did from the biblical symbols of light and firmament and dry land and angels and dragons and trees and stones, to more abstract symbols in the textbook, finally into these very abstract symbols. But what is interesting for us to see is that in the 8,000-year period, we have no text. That the word, as the word covers the first 5,000-year periods is the Bible, the 6,000-year period of, the word is the word cover. The word is the word, the word is the Christ, the word is Christianity, and the word is science, presents to us then the Bible, the textbook, and the model of being. But there comes a time when the books close and we go into that 8,000-year period. And in that 8,000-year period, we see that we have gone from the irrational through the rational into the irrational. We have gone through science and past science into being itself. It's at the age where the Bible says that man doesn't have to teach man any longer, and that we have no need for these revealed texts. Symbol and reality have become one, and the structure of our consciousness and the structure of being is one. And therefore, at that point, we admit to ourselves that we're God's own likeness, and that sets us free to master the infinite idea. And Mrs. Eddy says that closes the door on death and opens it wide to immortality. On that level, we spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis, and consciousness then goes out from that self-reflecting law of principle being its own infinite principle, going on to spiritual spheres in exalted beings. It's a state of being. It's a state of experience. It is not a state of learning. So all that we do is has that goal to take us on where we no longer have to ascend or descend, but consciousness stays on the level of science itself. And there, really, I feel life begins, huh? It's all a question of consciousness and perception. That consciousness of the level of science itself, of divine science, of absolute Christian science, and of Christian science, of course, all these are present possibilities. None of the levels are in a time sense. As Jesus said that, behold, the field is white with harvest. You think of him, that picture that they have of him sitting up in the mountain, looking back at Jerusalem, saying, oh, how I wouldst, but thou wouldn't. Mrs. Eddy said if the disciples would have understood Jesus at that time, they would have brought in the millennium. Look how long it takes for the tenacity of mortal mind to yield. And the prophets felt it would take 7,000 years to work out an understanding of the first record of creation through consciousness. It's all states and stages of consciousness. It's all a question of perception, how we perceive reality. And so therefore, it's all here. We just don't perceive it because our categories have not allowed us to perceive it. But now we have new categories of consciousness that enable us to perceive the world as God sees the world. The interesting thing that I want to mention too here is that our goal then is science itself. And as we have it in that book on the ordered approach to the one being, through those eight ordered steps of oneness with being, through the very exercises of seeing that all is mental, the mental can be good and evil, thinking in terms of ideas, becoming one with the synonymous terms in consciousness step by step till we finally come up to the level of divine science and we just can say the I is mind, the I is spirit, the I is soul, the I is principle, the I is life, the I is truth, the I is love. That on the level of divine science, its principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. Therefore, we can go out from mind, from spirit, from soul, from principle, from life, truth, and love through the culturing of the various ideas of the synonymous terms until they become the tonality of our consciousness, till they become our consciousness itself. Once they're our consciousness, they're our own being. And once that happens on divine science, we're catapulted into the level of science itself. Now the goal then is that level of science itself where there is just one mind, and that it's a question of perception, that no longer we have resolved the personal I into the I am, we have resolved the mind's many into the one mind view. That means that on what looks like a lower level, everyone seems to have a separate mind. Everyone seems to be locked into their own relative system of reference, their own little bubble, seeing their own virtual world view, and that it's hard for one virtual world view to communicate with another virtual real view. We're like little bubbles seeing our own little virtual reality according to our own little categories of reference. But by culturing consciousness in the categories of God, we slowly but surely drop off the personal I and our own worldview, which we uphold through self-justification, as Mrs. Eddy says, until we rise and rise through the culturing of the tonality of the synonymous terms, till they become the structure of our consciousness, till on the level of science itself, there is only one mind, and cannot be divided. And therefore, we see the world as God sees the world. And an interesting thing is many people show today, we're in a crisis of perception. And when I looked up the definition of illusion, an illusion means a pattern capable of reversal. And I thought, that's it. When Mrs. Eddy said that from the divine mind's view, creation is intact, and that all that has happened is, as the second record of creation shows, a mist went up, and that caused a reversal of mind, of the first day of mind being reversed into many minds, the second day of spirit being reversed into matter, the third day of soul being reversed into sense, testimony, and body, the fourth day of principle being reversed into personality, personal organizations, personal theories, the fifth day of life being reversed into the concept of birth, maturity, and death. The sixth day of man is the image and likeness of God being reversed into the Adam man in mortal consciousness, controlled by universal, collective, and individual beliefs operating on the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious level. And the seventh day of love being reversed into imperfection, jealousy, hate, and all this. We get the pattern of God reversed. Isn't that what Mrs. Eddy said? If we stick to the focal point of spirit, we'll turn and see the world turned upside down. We have taken somehow seriously the reversal. It's a crisis of perception. Bruce Wilshire says in his book, Metaphysics, that we may we need a set of new conceptual tools. And he says, if we forge new conceptual tools, we may see the world quite differently. Indeed, the world may be different. And in various other sources today, we see the people saying we're in a crisis of perception. Do you see, it's all a question of consciousness. Do we see the original pattern of God as it is, or do we see its reversal? It's up to us and our categories. It's if we are always going out from the categories of the second record of creation, immortal mind, matter, body, personal theories, death, mortal consciousness, and imperfection, we see the reversal of the original pattern. But if we go out from and see the world as God sees the world, we see the original pattern. And by culturing consciousness in the categories of God on the level of science itself, there's only one infinite mind, and that mind cannot be divided, and error is unknown, evil is unknown, death is unknown, and there's only one mind, and we all see the same universe. Imagine. It's incredible. That's the goal, to go through science and past science into being itself, to go from minds many, through minds many, into the one God consciousness. But this is science and not mysticism. Therefore, we say, will we get sucked up into the undifferentiated whole and lose our identity? This is what dimensional ontology teaches, that one being appears in many forms, in many infinite individualities, yet still remains the one being. And Mrs. Eddy says, mutating away from time and space, we never lose our identity. Our identity just according takes on diviner forms. But we never lose our individual identity, because that principle always appears in many forms, yet still remains that one principle. So, therefore, we can see then, if we're studying a divine philosophy, which through the constituents brings our consciousness through culturing these constituents of divine ontology, part of divine philosophy, up to that standpoint of looking out from the infinite one, then Mrs. Eddy said, from that infinite one comes its infinite idea. Comes that infinite idea then of a divine cosmology. And with this infinitude come spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration. We then see the divine cosmology behind the universe, that science of all sciences, that principle of all principles that is at work in the world. And so this is what we will do in this class. We're going to see, therefore, that Mrs. Eddy's revelation included both, and that her revelation then includes the infinitesimal of the ontological categories to the infinite comprehensive cosmology, and that she says, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God, or man is the image and likeness of God. So what we will do then is, this evening, if you allow me just to talk in big generalities tonight, just to build up the atmosphere of the impact of that principle on the level of science itself that includes all other principle, that science that includes all other sciences. If there's only one universe, then everything is included within the one universe. And I want to show you that. And I want to show that the big impulse that is going on behind it, and this we know, I mean, it's just I want to bring it out as a big tonality for the class for this week. But we know now behind the principle that is happening is then this divine algorithm. We never forget what I show this evening, which is happening to the sciences today. what Mrs. Eddy said, there's only one being, but there is this algorithm of the Christ idea at work through its pulse and no pulse, or its one or two, or its translation or retranslation, however we want to say it. It's at work, and it's leveling a physical concept of science to a more mental concept of science into a spiritual definition of science. All science is divine, we'll see together this evening, as she says. And so she says there is no physical science. If the scientists want to call it physical, it's their problem. If they want to call the laws of gravity physical, that's their problem. The law of science is divine. All science is of God. And the law of gravity is the law of divine mind, as we'll see her say. And so therefore, through the operation of the Christ idea, which we see on page 115 in the first translation, that principle God is presenting what the universe is as idea, what the earth is idea, and all mankind is idea, how all science is idea, how all art is idea, how all music is idea. And that is reversing automatically, we know now, through the self-operating, self-regulating, error-preventing, mistake-friendly cybernetic system of God, bringing us then the universe, including man, including all the laws of God, from a physical explanation of the first degree through a moral human transitional explanation of the second degree into a spiritual explanation of the third degree. Therefore, it's a Christ idea that is giving, dropping off the restraints on science, theology, and medicine, and giving us a higher definition. That's all that's happening. And it's happening in spite of the scientists, it's happening in spite of the religionists, it's happening in spite of us. It is just plain happening. We're lucky enough to be able to witness it through science and understanding. So finally, in the third degree, she says, mortal mind disappears and man is God's image and likeness appears. Well, if mortal mind of the first degree disappears, then the second degree disappears because it's a transitional stage. You see, she called the second degree transitional. So if the first degree goes, then the transitional stage go, and we're just left with the spiritual realm. Man is God's image and likeness appears. So in seeing that this is what's happening, I'll just want to bring out now a few quotes here from the world's response and show how the impact is happening on the world through these sciences. But first of all, let's take a look here of how Mrs. Eddy shows that all science is divine. Even we could take a look at the Bible. And as I say, I want to take just big, big generalities this evening. I don't want to get into the details. If I have extra details on my transparency besides what we say, we just are going to get the big, big view. Now, I just want to show here with this transparency and its overall structure, and not to get hung up in any of the details, as I said, is that the Bible already showed that all things were made by God. And this shows that in the Gospel of St. John, we saw through that wonderful explanation by John Dorley, and then, of course, Max Kapler when he came in 1990 and 1991 to show us the beautiful spiritual monism and one-valued logic behind John. We saw there that in the prologue of it, we get the vision of divine science, a God Genesis, really where Mrs. Eddy shows us that spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment in immortal wisdom. Therefore, all creation is the outgrowth of the infinite self-containment of God. We don't live in two universes as we know. We live in one universe, one original pattern, either seen correctly or misunderstood. As Paul says, if seen incorrectly through the second record of creation categories, we see through a glass darkly. But when seen through the categories of God, we now know we see it clearly. So with this one valued logic, it shows in John, then at the word of the divine logos, that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then we learn the accentuation of the Christ. The divine logos has a Christ, a universal power of manifestation. Therefore, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then the Christianity tone, the Christ of the divine logos has a Christianity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then the science, the divine logos must be understood, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. So we see already in the Bible that all things were made by him. Well, if God is all and God is all in all, there is nothing going on besides God. Then this same theme we can see is picked up by Mrs. Eddy. We know now in her chapter, Science, Theology, and Medicine, really showing us then that sixth chapter in the textbook, how she looks at science itself, theology itself, and medicine. And she looks at it then, as we know, from the standpoint of the sixth chapter, as the Christ is the Christ standpoint. And then we see that when we look at that sixth chapter from the standpoint of divine science, we see the Christ, the expression of God's oneness with man, intersects with the Christ, God-like manifestation, and the overall divine science of the sixth chapter is that God and its manifestation is one in science, theology, and medicine. Then we can see that's a specific epitome for that chapter we have learned is the Christ, the translation of God to idea, the first translation, and the Christ, the second translation, the power of manifestation in spite of error, gives us the overall epitome as Max has given us as the Christ translation manifests itself by translating the false constituents of reality into the true constituents of reality.